From NPR News in Washington, I'm Korva Coleman. South Korea's president has announced the leaders of the G20 summit have agreed on a statement that will help rebalance the world economy. From Seoul, Dwali Saikaljo has more on the conclusion of the international forum.
President Lee Myung-bak, host of the G20 summit, says he and the leaders of the top 20 economies have agreed to set the framework for a strong, sustained, and balanced global growth. Through an interpreter, Lee says the guidelines can be achieved by next June.
This all depends on creating high-quality jobs, and if we are to deliver on these commitments, will be able to contribute significantly to that framework.
The final G20 communique isn't specific about how exactly the guidelines will work, but does suggest negotiators will continue to identify measures that can prevent economic instability worldwide. For NPR News, I'm Dwahli Saikautau in Seoul.
President Obama spoke a little while ago after the conclusion of the summit. He says as a world power, China should do more to handle its economy. He cited its exports and its currency, the yuan, also known as the RMB.
Precisely because of China's success, it's very important that it act in a responsible fashion internationally. The issue of the RMB is one that is an irritant not just to the United States, but is an irritant to a lot of China's trading partners and those who are competing with China to sell goods around the world.
Mr. Obama wants China to stop undervaluing its currency and making its goods cost less than goods produced by the United States and other countries. The International Monetary Commission has said previously the Chinese currency is undervalued. Speculations rising whether Burmese officials will release pro-democracy activist Aung San Suu Kyi from house arrest. The BBC's Alistair Leithhead in neighboring Thailand says the opposition activist may have a chance of release after detention for most of the past 20 years.
A number of sources inside Burma have told the BBC that documents authorizing Aung San Suu Kyi's release have been signed, but there's still no confirmation she will be released from house arrest. There was increased police activity outside her home in University Avenue in Rangoon, and her supporters, who've been publicly counting down the days to the end of her current term of house arrest, have been gathering at the old headquarters of her political party in anticipation of her release. Her latest 18-month sentence is coming to an end, and following the country's first election in 20 years, there's increasing speculation the ruling generals may sanction her release.
The BBC's Alistair Leithhead. Disaster experts in Indonesia say the death toll from the most active volcano has risen to more than 200. Mount Merapi began erupting late last month on Java Island. You're listening to NPR News. The UN Security Council is getting its regular update on the situation in Bosnia-Herzegovina. A Bosnian official says there's a lot of unfinished business 15 years after the Dayton Peace Accord ended the war there. NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports.
The High Representative for Bosnia-Herzegovina says the country got some welcome news this week. Bosnians will soon be able to travel without visas in much of Europe. Valentin Insko tells NPR this is quite a relief for people who were worried they'd be living in a Balkan ghetto.
This was a very important signal of European Union that Bosnian citizens are welcome, and ultimately that Bosnia-Herzegovina as a state is welcome in Brussels.
The prospect of EU membership is one way the international community hopes to push for constitutional reforms. Insko says the government, still split along ethnic lines, is too cumbersome. Though he's supposed to be working himself out of a job and handing off authorities to the Bosnian government, Insko says he still has work to do. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.
Officials in Israel say former Prime Minister Ariel Sharon has been moved home from the hospital where he has been for more than 4 years. Sharon suffered several strokes and fell into a coma where he's been ever since. Israel Radio reports the former prime minister's family has taken him home to a ranch in the southern part of the country. The Pakistani Taliban claims responsibility for Thursday's attack on a government compound in Karachi. A truck filled with explosives crashed into a wall at the Criminal Investigations Division, killing at least 15 people and wounding dozens of others. I'm Korva Coleman, NPR News in Washington. Support.